Hey guys, and welcome back to Percussion Perspective. This is Remy.
This is Kevin.
And on today's episode, we are talking about how to play the triangle, talking about triangle, tips for triangle, tricks for triangle, tips, tricks, triangle, tricks. What's up, dude? Was that a good intro?
That was pretty good. That was better than the first one that we recorded before that no one will ever get to hear.
Well, we had some technical difficulties.
Yeah. It's going good. We just had that storm, and so that ice snowstorm, and so we have had an entire week off of school. And so it does not take me long to get used to that life.
Yeah.
Of like, I don't know about you, but like that one of those great feelings is like you're going to bed the night before you don't have to go to work or / school the next day.
Yeah. You're talking about being a human.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Everyone has that, but we got very lucky and we're able to have, I guess it's not lucky because
it's not
solo and ensemble time, which means that we are incredibly behind on preparing for that. So,
yeah. And we have, move my mic screen here for a sec. We have a middle school concert on Tuesday. We come back Monday. Yeah. If you guys haven't figured it out, we record on Sunday afternoons a lot. So, tomorrow is Monday. Yeah. And it's like, we have a concert on Tuesday. That's terrible because we didn't have any rehearsal this last week. And even the week before, we had a couple snow days. We had some honor band stuff. So a lot of the directors were gone. So we really haven't had like consistent rehearsal with those middle school kids for like almost 2 weeks. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We have high school solo and ensemble this week. And so.
Yep. Go ahead.
And we have.
And you are?
This is Kevin.
Okay.
But yeah, we just have to get a lot caught up on. I've had kids email me like, can we have extra lessons and stuff like that? Because nobody was really ready. So it's going to be an interesting week trying to get just everybody kind of ready to play the best that they can. And especially for percussionists. I mean, most of my kids are doing like marimba solos and they haven't been able to get on a marimba in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days or something.
Right. Yeah. So, it's been rough. I had kids emailing me too, like, hey, can I have an easier solo? Like, I was like, we'll deal with all this on Monday. Like, I'm really, this will come out like 2 weeks after, you know, solo and ensemble, but, or at least, I don't know. I don't know when this is going to come out. We'll cut this out. Anyways. But yeah, I had a lot of them emailing me and it's just like, we'll figure it out, you know, but I'm kind of thinking that a lot of them will end up bailing on solo and on solo. We're not taking any ensembles this year, but, it's just, yeah, but we host our own in-house one towards the end of the year. So I think a lot of kids might, you know, just do their solos for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be an interesting week, but we'll see. But yeah, let's get into talking about the triangle, the instrument, triangle. Not the shape.
Please welcome to the podcast, Triangle.
Well, we should have had a triangle to like hear.
Oh, please welcome to the podcast, Triangle. Oh man, is that a Stanley? Something.
It's a Yeti, but that's what some of your kids' triangles might sound like if you don't listen to this episode and learn how to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Correctly.
That's true. I do have like my daughter has like a little percussion kit and it's got a triangle in it, but it sounds like that.
Yeah, it's probably better.
It's no Abel triangle or anything, so, or no Black Swamp Artisan. Anyway, right. We'll start the episode now. 3, 2, 1. Okay, so the very first thing that I have is use a good clip. Okay, so a triangle clip, if you don't know what that is, that's just the thing that holds the triangle, right? Not all of them are actual clips, but it does seem like I would say the majority of them, you know, have the little clothespin spring loaded type thing where you can hook it onto a music stand or whatever. I've been to so many schools, seen kids play at contests, whatever, and they're just like, you know, they're using like this weird little this just this crappy clip. And some you can actually, there are some that you can buy that are really not good. That was a great sentence. There are some that you can buy that are really low quality. And the biggest thing is the clip needs to have two holes in it that are spaced far enough apart where when you hook the triangle into the little the string or the fishing line or whatever's there, it's got to not pull the clip towards one end or the other. You want them like evenly spaced in the center. That way you can get, you know, one, your thumb behind one, your middle finger in front of the other, and you can balance it. So, you know, I see people just like almost holding the clip like Statue of Liberty style, just like with a fist, you know, and then it's just like dangling down on like a 6-inch little piece of string. Like that's not gonna work. You only need as much room on that little string. You only need enough room for that triangle to go through. You like the less room, the better, because then it's not going to rotate and spin around and all that stuff. So make sure you get a good clip. I like the Black Swamp clips are great. There's several on Steve Weiss. If you just buy an actual triangle clip, you'll probably be fine.
Yeah. And I have even gone the route of going to my local hardware store. You're right. And buying the, you're more of a woodworker than me or whatever. Are they just clamps?
Yeah, there's probably a name for those, but yeah, just those little bitty, like the smallest ones you can buy. And you usually have to drill holes in those, because I've done that too.
And yeah, so that's what I did one Christmas break or something. I went to, it's probably Lowe's. Let's take a break and let Lowe's be our sponsor. Anyway, I just went to Lowe's and like bought, I don't know, 4 or 5 of those. You know, and they're like $1.50, maybe $2. And I just drilled 2 holes in them, and you can get like the little thin plastic tubing to kind of put around like the zip tie, and it kind of keeps it contained a little bit. And then,
oh, whatever. You use a zip tie? That's smart.
I think I did. Yeah. Yeah.
For like the little hanging implement, yes, whatever, yes, you want
and
to call
so
that.
Like it was a zip tie going through it, but the zip tie also went through that little real thin plastic or rubber. Maybe it was like rubber tubing.
Sure.
So then that was where the string or whatever I was going to use would then go. So those are cheap, and those have actually honestly lasted a little bit longer than some of the like Grover and Black Swamp ones. I'm not saying those are, you know, once you put those in the hands of high school kids, you never know what's going to happen to any of them.
Yeah. The biggest thing I would say, I didn't realize we're going to talk about triangle clips for 10 minutes, but the biggest thing I would say about that, like what Kevin's talking about, that's going to be better for your, like your middle school and high school programs. Usually a zip tie is going to be way, way more effective or way more durable. And they're just called a spring clamp, I think.
Spring clamp, like, yeah.
Just Googled it. Anyway, but I think everyone knows what we're talking about. But yeah, you do usually have to drill at least one. Sometimes they'll have one hole on the very end, but you usually have to drill at least one, sometimes both. And you want to drill those on the same side, like on whatever side is going to be the bottom. Throw your zip tie through. I've used fishing line in the past too. You want to make sure that it's, not a, whatever you're using to hang the triangle on, that it's not like big, the diameter, it needs to be a small diameter, because the more it's just like, a suspended symbol or whatever, the more contact you make with it, the more it's going to dampen it. So that's why those professional ones, like Kevin was talking about, they use fishing line, and they're supposed to be for like professionals that know what they're doing. So they're not going to like break it. I think that's the biggest difference between, you know, using these spring clamps and using some zip ties or maybe some really thin rubber tubing or something that's going to be more durable for your kids. But there's several companies that make them.
Yeah. Yeah. But they can also be expensive, which is why I think, especially if you want if you need to get a lot of them, then spending a little bit of the afternoon to go and grab those spring clamps can be a money saver, especially for your younger kids. But yes, and have many clamps, because I always, they break or they disappear or something. So have as many as you can. Because they just disappear all the time.
Yeah, 2 to 3 per ensemble would probably be good.
Yeah. So when it comes to teaching, you know, sixth graders about the triangle, Adam Bruce in our last episode kind of talked about this a lot, but make it a bigger deal, because I think out of a lot of the things that you're going to be introducing to your sixth graders, the triangle is probably going to be, I would say, one of the least exciting ones, especially if you've already played on drums and, you know, keyboards and cymbals and stuff. And so maybe try to get this one in early in the year, just depending upon when you can get your accessory schedule done. But making it as exciting as you can, and make sure your kids like make a big deal about the grip, I think, on the clamp. Because like Remy said, if you don't, then they might end up just holding it, like you said, Statue of Liberty style, just holding it with their full fist. So just like they're holding on to the sticks correctly and setting up their posture correctly, make it an actual thing that their grip on the clamp is just as important as anything else that you do. So what I do is we use mostly those spring clamps in most of our ensembles at this point. So I do like 3 fingers on the outside, right away from you, and then 1 finger on top, and then like the thumb.
Yeah, the thumb is on the
bottom,
closest
too.
To you.
Yeah, and the thumb is closest to you. Yeah, so yeah, that'd be weird if you had to flip your hand all the way around. But but whatever. I mean, whatever is going to be most comfortable also for your kids. I have had a kid come up to me and they said they had like, I don't know, they had like some kind of hand issue, and he was like, it's more comfortable if I put this finger here. And I was like, okay, that's fine. As long as you're holding it comfortably and consistently, but make it a thing.
Yeah. They have to hold it correctly. And it's like, we really need a video podcast to like show that, you know, but what I tell my kids is, you're wanting to make a horseshoe between your thumb and your middle finger, right? And then the clip goes inside that horseshoe and sits on both fingers. And then, like Kevin said, you know, your ring finger and your pinky can sort of support that middle finger. And then, one on top. And then having those extra fingers on the bottom, that's what can help you with muting and things like that. My next point was how to hold it and to practice that a bunch. So when you're teaching this to beginners, you know, have them pick it up, put it in their hand, and then put it down, and then pick it up and put it in their hand and put it down, because they just need the repetition to be able to pick it up quickly, right? It should just take, you know, a second or two to pick up a triangle and hold it correctly. Yeah. Anything else on that?
Well, and I like, in the last episode when we talked to Adam, he had mentioned the race.
Oh gosh, here we go with Adam again.
I know. But but he mentioned the race. I was gonna say something funny, but nothing came to mind. But like making it a race, but that's like, you know, I have 18 beginners and I definitely don't have 18 triangle clamps. So it's like,
yeah, I have like 4.
Yeah. So it's like, you can't really do that. But we've learned that making it a big deal is important. So, holding it correctly, having a race, and I like what you said, having them do it and then put it down and like do it again and do it down. So just, it's creating that habit of doing it correctly, but overall make it a big deal, that your kids understand how to do it correctly. And then you won't have a 8th, 9th grader come up to you before a concert and say, how do I hold the triangle? Like you said, has happened to you before.
Yeah, just make it important. It'll be important to them. That's one of our catchphrases here. Really rolls off the tongue.
It's going to be on the shirts we don't make.
Yeah. Cool. Next thing I got is you want to do one? I feel like I brought up the last two.
Nah, go for it.
Okay. So then you got to talk about, like, that's everything. Oh, if hold it in your left hand. You know, like hold the triangle in your left hand. Usually, I guess if you're left hand dominant, you could hold it in your right and then play with your left. But I feel like, most people hold it with their left hand and play with their right. That's just kind of how it is.
And it probably like you said, like, if a kid is left-handed, then they can probably try it. But like when I play, I know we're not talking about the tambourine right now, but
yeah, don't do it.
But when I play tambourine, I hold it in my right hand.
Oh, gross. Really?
Because I feel like I can shake it better.
Oh, okay. I mean, that kind of makes sense. But I feel like my finger rolls are way better in my right hand.
But
it's just however you learn it is fine.
And but I'm also, like when I played baseball, I batted left-handed.
Okay, well, so nobody cares about that.
Right. Welcome to baseball perspective. I might have a little bit of weird ambidextrous in me. But anyway, back to the triangle.
Well, yeah, anyway. I would say try to encourage kids to hold it with their left hand, but it's like there's not a hard and fast rule, just whatever hand they want to hold it with. It's going to be easier for you to demonstrate if they're using the same hand that you are.
Correct.
I know I have a couple students that play triangle with their left hand. So anyway, so your playing area is the next thing that you've got to talk about, right? Playing area. And then along with that, you also have like a playing angle. Okay. So if you think about holding that triangle out in front of you and it's hanging straight down, you know, we'll call that plumb, right? That's how you measure like vertical levelness. So if it's plumb, then you want to be at like a 45 degree angle. You just want like kind of whatever angle your hand ends up or your arm ends up as you reach up to that triangle, that should be around 45. And you kind of want to play on that. I say the corner, but a triangle is like a round cylinder, but you're playing not on the top, not on the side closest to you. You're kind of playing in the middle of those. So I say at a 45, if you were to play at a 90 degree, like put the beater inside the triangle and then move straight up and down, you're going to get a real like flat sound. Not a lot of overtones. It's just going to be like a real focused sound and kind of sound like that water bottle that Kevin hit at the beginning. You want to demonstrate that again? Yeah, that sounds even worse.
It was worse. I've drank more of it, I think.
Okay, well here, let me show you how a man does this. That was a Hydro Flask. Anyway,
that was good.
Yeah, it was good. I want to write a piece for tuned Hydro Flasks. Anyway, if you're a Hydro Flask executive, please email us. But yeah, man, I feel like this this is going off the rails. You just want to play at a 45 degree angle, right? You want a good sound. You want lots of overtones. And a 45 degree angle is going to give you the best sound, activate the triangle the best. On the bottom edge, right? That's your playing area, is on the bottom edge.
Yeah.
Most of the time. There's always caveats.
Yeah. And I think finding the sound that you want for the piece that you're playing, I think you could get real deep in trying to figure out exactly the right triangle, the right size, the right beater. And yes, in some cases it's very important for that. But if you're just in a middle school band program or something and you're trying to figure all that out, it's probably just more important to figure out the kids are playing with like a standard. They know the general area of playing the triangle, and they know the grip and like you. And I mean, we have just like a set of three beaters at the middle school that we can kind of like, if we need to use a bigger one or a smaller one or a medium, whatever. But generally my kids just have a general understanding of like where we're going to hit the triangle, how we're going to roll. We can talk about that later, but yeah, just having a set place to play. And I think everything that you described was good in all of the directions. But again, your triangle could have different sounds. And so just play around with it and find the sound that you're looking for the piece that you're playing.
Yeah, for sure. And that's for like older kids, you know, like Kevin said, a sixth grader playing triangle, you're just worried about them playing in the correct spot with the right angle and playing the right rhythms. That's pretty much it. And holding it the right way. Right.
Yeah.
Another thing that we haven't really said kind of has to do with this, like setup and technique and approach to playing triangle, like have them hold it in front of their face. I tell kids like you should be looking at the conductor through the triangle, right? Like I see a lot of kids. I don't know if it's like they're embarrassed that they're playing that they're playing triangle. Yeah, so they're like they hold it like down behind the music stand, and it's like, you know, that's not a super loud instrument usually. So you've got to get it up above the ensemble in front of you so that the sound goes over and into the audience. So just encourage them to hold it up. And I think that's one of those things, again, if you just teach that as a, you know, as the technique from the beginning, we hold it like this, we hold it up this high, you play it with this hand, like that's going to stick a little bit better, rather than waiting until that kid is in rehearsal in front of all their friends and they're playing the triangle. Oh no. And then you're like, get that up. What are you doing? And which is, you know, what I usually have to do.
Yeah. I'm going to rag on my seventh grade and eighth grade directors that I work with. But one of the funny thing, and this is completely related to holding the triangle up and watching the director through the triangle, is that if you're a band director for like young kids, if they're playing like the triangle wrong, like the rhythm is wrong, like the first thing you shouldn't say is like, well, make sure you're looking at me through it. Like that's not going to fix anything.
Not going to help anything.
Yeah. That should be like the last thing that you're worried about. I'm just kidding my coworkers, but it's just funny.
Is that something they say?
Yeah. I'll be sitting back there. I'm going to rag on Mary. Sometimes I'll sit back there and like they'll play a rhythm wrong, and like the first thing she says, like, all right, hold it up, look at me right through it. And I'm just like, no, they're just playing the rhythm wrong. It's just the rhythm.
They just think it's the timing. Yeah, it's an easy mistake, I guess.
It's just funny to me. So, but yeah, they should be. I mean, that's the best thing to help with their focus, is holding it up and kind of being able to see their music and see the director through it. But honestly, train your kids also to like play with the music. Like if they right. can just, if
they should be having to watch all the time.
Yeah. Like they should be able to listen and fit that triangle part. I mean, it's different if the triangle part is very active and they're trying to keep the tempo going, but that's maybe 50% of the time. Most of the time, they're not the timekeeping yeah. instrument. Another thing about we were talking about finding like the sweet spot on the triangle. You can also find the sweet spot on the beater itself. There's a lot of different triangle beater types, and they can all have different sounds based on the angle of that you're using on it, and also the different angles on the different parts of the triangle. So we're kind of getting into territory here that's going to be maybe confusing, but there's a lot of variables. Do you want to talk about some of the beater types?
Yeah. So I would say there's probably two main types of triangle beaters. I don't know what the terminology would be. I would say just oh my gosh, how do you even describe this? Just like a standard triangle beater. Okay. So like Grover Percussion, they have a standard triangle beater set, right? That's like the one that you probably see in every middle school and high school in America. It's like, you know, in a little canvas roll-up thing with Velcro around it, and it's got like, I don't know, six beaters or something in it, and they're like, you know, yellow, orange, red, green, blue, black, and they're just like literal pieces of steel with a little bitty rubber sleeve on one end where you hold it. So they're just like straight, and they're cylindrical. They don't get bigger or smaller. They're not tapered or anything like that. You just have different thicknesses. And yeah, so
the official terms, I believe, are like end weighted and then rod style.
Okay, cool. Love it. All right.
Yeah.
So these would be rod style then, right?
Yes.
Since they're just straight, there's nothing else. Then you would have end weighted, or what I usually call them, my students, like the teardrop ones, or I think Black Swamp calls them like the spectrum tier. Yeah. Yeah. Spectrum teardrop triangle beater is what, and I love that one. I have one of those and it's really nice. And that's like it has a weight on the end. That's kind of like a really stretched out teardrop shape. And that one's really cool because like you can play super soft with it, because it has like that tiny little point, right? But then you can also get really loud with it if you change your area on the beater and play with the thicker part and play with more velocity or more weight. So those are the two types. If you're going to buy something for a middle school or a high school, I would say go with like that graduated set, right? What were they? Rod style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go with those because you're going to get usually more bang for your buck. You're going to get several of them. And that's what I like when I was in college, I bought one of those Grover sets. And it was great. And then it wasn't until like grad school. And I was like, oh, hey, Black Swamp makes this. This is really cool. And that's my favorite. That's the one that I prefer. But yeah, those would be the two types. And like Kevin said, each of them's going to have like a little bit different of a sweet spot. If you're playing, you know, way down close to where your fulcrum is, you're not going to get a good sound. The weight is all different. But if you play all the way on the very tip, that's going to be weird too. You know, so probably an inch and a half or 2 inches below the end of the beater is where you're going to want to hit. Yeah. Anyway, anything else on that?
Yeah. I think a lot of the determining factors on what kind of beater you're picking is also the part that you're playing.
Yeah.
And so the end weighted tend to be ones that are like more ideal for like simple rhythms or like isolated notes. Just like if you're playing a very low rhythm type of part, then like the end weighted ones or the same thing you said, like the teardrop are going to be better because they kind of, I think they create more overtones. Like they kind of just have a way better sound to it. And if you were trying to use one of those on like a very active rhythm part, it's not going to be as clear. The rhythm won't be as clear.
Right.
So switching to the,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
those end weighted ones, they provide more weight, right? They're weighted. So you get more weight, you get more oomph into the sound, so it activates the triangle more. And that resonance of the overtones, it's going to, like what Kevin's saying, it's going to cover up whatever rhythm you're playing. It's going to kind of muddy it. Versus if you're using those rod style, you're not getting as much weight, you're not getting as much overtone and activation of the triangle, so you can hear the rhythm more. So I hadn't thought about that, but that's exactly right.
Yeah, they're just way more articulate. And I would assume, I mean, you probably wouldn't ever use like two of the end weighted ones ever.
No, I can't afford that.
But you definitely can have a part where you use two of the rod styles depending upon the part that you're playing. And you can also get steel versus bronze of those options of those beaters too. So obviously steel is just going to be brighter and the bronze are going to be warmer and darker,
they're a little bit,
and
a little bit softer.
So
one thing I was going to, okay. Go ahead.
We're getting really good at this. I was going to say, the most experience I have are just those rod styles. I don't even think our school owns any of the teardrop or weighted end ones.
Yeah. Those are definitely, again, kind of like the clips that we were talking about. Those are like kind of professional grade. There's really not any reason to have them. You can still get a great sound with those rod style beaters. When I think of those teardrop ones, it's almost like, you know, you're playing in an orchestra and you have one note that you want to sound really, you know, like the classic orchestral triangle player that plays one note. You want it to sound really good. Oh, so you use that beater and you use a super nice triangle. I was going to say, you were talking about playing with two beaters. That Grover graduated set has like two yellows, two orange, two red, two green. And then I think it has like a blue and a black. I don't think there's like two blues and two blacks, but those are all together. And that would be like, something where you would probably hang the triangle with two clips. You would put a clip in each of the closed corners, right? Because we didn't talk about this, but every triangle has one corner that is open. That's how you have to, that's what lets it vibrate better. And it's also is what lets you get a clip on it. So you would hang it where that open corner is pointing down towards the floor, and you would hang it on a music stand or a cymbal stand, you know, something that you've fashioned. And then you can play with both if you have like really fast rhythms or something. I've done that a few times. The other thing that goes with technique that we didn't say, hold the triangle. Like, don't let your kids clip it on a music stand and play it unless that's absolutely necessary. Like if they switch from, if someone's playing suspended cymbal and triangle, it seems like those are paired together a lot on auxiliary parts. So if you play a suspended cymbal roll and then you have like three beats to get over to the triangle, like sure, have it on a music stand. But I always tell my kids, you need to hold it unless you absolutely can't make the transition. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree. It's most of the time you can have it where they can hold it, but there's times where maybe you're in a middle school program, you don't have enough kids to cover all the parts, then obviously have it be clipped on and play it. And same thing if you're just a percussionist and you're, you know, playing in a musical and you have to have it. I mean, that's kind of different if you're in a musical like this, because nobody's trying to hold it up and see it. But yeah, and there's also different things, we probably won't get into this, but like the triggers.
That's what I was just thinking when you said musical. I was just thinking about the Disenza trigger.
Yeah, those are pretty sweet. I've never really messed with one of those before.
I think there's a, is it a Miller machine? Is that the right? Is that that's the original one?
I think
and then Black Swamp came out with the Disenza one, which is, I don't, maybe just a better version of it, but they're pretty updated. Sweet.
Yeah.
It has Wi-Fi and stuff. You can download different
Bluetooth,
sounds.
So you can play it. You have to download the app and you can play.
Dude, that's a good idea though.
You can
a Bluetooth
play
Miller machine.
The percussion perspective triangle Bluetooth trigger 1.0.
Yeah. Yeah, or it would almost be like one of those remote hi-hats where it's like a, like the has like the little hydraulic. Man, we should look into that.
We're gonna be so rich.
TM this conversation.
Yeah, a lot of good info there about all that. What other things were you gonna talk about?
We talked about beaters. That was one that I had written.
You
want to
talk about rolling?
Yeah, let's do that. And then the last one I've got is like different kinds of triangles.
Yeah.
So why don't you take us away?
Yeah. So rolling on the triangle, obviously this is something that has to be done delicately. Like it kind of takes a really delicate grip and you kind of have to practice it a lot, but your beginners should learn where you want them to roll on the triangle. So obviously you're rolling with two of the corners, right? You've got two of the parts of the triangle going up and meeting at the top, and you want to get right up in the top. Do you like the top, or do you use like the bottom edge, or do you really care? You're muted, by the way. So
hi. Sorry, I muted. I just get into that in case, like, I don't know, like burp or something. Sneeze or burp or fart.
Okay.
Name that movie.
Explicit. I don't know.
Because people are screaming right now. Despicable Me. Anyway.
Oh, right.
The original. I haven't seen any of the others.
But yeah, where do you like to teach your kids to roll?
It's like, what are we talking about? I can see, like, doing it on the top corner is probably easier. I just don't think that's not how I would do it, because you can get a better sound on the bottom one, in my opinion. Because it's all about the angle of the beater, I guess. So I teach them to do it in the bottom corner. It's almost kind of like a, which we didn't say, you should be holding the triangle with just matched grip, right? But when you roll, I think you're kind of using like maybe this match grip, French grip hybrid, like kind of using some wrist and finger manipulation. I don't know. I don't think there's like, again, there's not like hard and fast rules to this. There's just kind of like objective standards that you want to teach your kids, and then everybody's gonna change it a little bit to however it works for them. But yeah, rolling in that bottom corner. And the biggest thing is, again, you don't want to like poke straight into the triangle at 90 degrees and go up and down. You want to like come up at it at that same 45 degree angle where you're on the closer side of the bottom edge, but you're on the far side of the right edge, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Right. None of, no, I can't say hypotenuse because none of these are like these are all equilateral triangles, right?
Yeah.
I guess is the Abel triangle like a, not quite. I feel like it's like a, it's like a right triangle.
Kind of.
Yeah, it does matter, but it doesn't matter. So yeah, I don't know if that makes sense, but the way I teach it is going up through that bottom corner. That way you're getting kind of a 45 degree angle on each side. And then you're just, and you can teach them, just try to have them play 16th notes. Same way we talked about suspended cymbal.
Yeah. You know,
one t t two t t three t t down up down up down up down up like that.
Yeah, I don't really ever have many triangle things rolling wise in middle school.
Definitely not.
Like I can't really think of a time I ever do.
This is just one of those.
Yeah, eighth grade for sure. What'd you say?
I was going to say this is one of those things where you can teach them how to roll early before they're really going to need to know how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I've taught both ways, kind of one like up in the top or up in the side. When you are teaching your kids how to hold it and everything, do you have the clip in the triangle where the bottom open corner is to the left or to the right, or does it matter to you?
I do it to the right because that's the corner I have them roll in. No,
the opposite, right? Like the open end of the triangle, where do you have the...
Yeah, so the open end is on the left because they're going to play rolls on the right.
Okay, that's... Yeah, I was going to say...
I've seen people do the opposite and they play rolls like across their body. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the closed corner is on the left and then they're rolling with their right hand on the left, which... that's valid also. As long as you can get a good sound.
Yeah, and I think it's... it's all about... consistency and good sound and, you know, like teaching the way you want to teach it and having your kids. I think a lot of this is like, just have your kids have a knowledge of what they should do and not have kids who just like, don't know what to do.
Yeah. They should make it up themselves or whatever. Yeah,
there should be like a consistent teaching method in the way that all of your kids understand it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's wrap it up with the triangle types.
Yeah, so really the biggest thing here is like material. So there's steel and there's bronze. I would say those are probably the two most popular ones. There's one type of triangle that is called an Allen Abel triangle. Like Alan and then last name is Abel. I don't know where he was. An orchestral percussionist, but he was an orchestral percussionist. You want to look that up real quick?
Yeah, you keep going.
Okay. So that's if you've ever seen a triangle, it's like a little bit different shape than, it's not like an equilateral, you know, it's like, it's more of a right triangle. And then each end, like going to the open end, it kind of like tapers. It's been like machined and it's smaller on each end, closer to that open end. The story goes, he couldn't find a triangle. I always thought this was really interesting. He couldn't find a triangle that he liked the sound of. So he like started taking apart appliances at his house or something. Like I'm paraphrasing here. This is just what I've heard. But he took apart his washing machine. And he found this metal rod in his washing machine and he bent it into a triangle shape and he loved the way it sounded. So he started using that. And then they started producing, like they started taking that and reproducing that look. And that's why it has like the smaller edges, the smaller ends on the end of each piece.
Like it's been chiseled.
Yeah. It just tapers down. And anyway, they sound great. I mean, that's probably one of the more popular triangle styles that I've seen. All the others are usually just going to be like a straight, you know, cylinder of steel, and they're just bent into a triangle shape. I think the biggest thing other than material is just size, though. I mean, that you've got like a 4-inch triangle, a 6-inch triangle, an 8-inch triangle. I've seen really big ones all the way up to, you know, maybe 12 or 14, but probably a 6 is going to be your standard, like a 6-inch triangle. I think I have a couple different 6 6-inch ones, like a Black Swamp one and a Grover one. And then I have an 8-inch one. And anyway, they're, yeah, the just, again, with middle school, you're just concerned about, are they getting a good enough sound from the instrument? Just don't buy one off of Amazon, right? Like don't buy a little beginner percussion kit thing that has like a little rubber loop on the top. Like you want something that's actually going to resonate for a few seconds, not just die immediately. Did you find anything about him?
Yes. Alan Abel started as a percussionist with the Philadelphia Orchestra in 1959.
Gotcha. Is he alive still?
You'll have to ask him. I don't know.
Are you not on his Wikipedia page or something?
No, it took me to Steve Weiss.
Oh, okay.
And then so I just did it from there. But yeah, and his, yeah, that Alan Abel symphonic triangle is a 6-inch triangle. So I agree with you about the 6-inch being kind of the standard size. Yeah, and I think that Alan Abel one is the one that we pretty much have the most of. I mean, that's kind of what we have at our school is a lot of. I think we also have like one of the artisan steel ones from Black Swamp. Those are good.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's like my go-to. The one with like the little pointy ends.
Yeah, very sharp.
Yeah.
Very sharp.
I like that one a lot. It's got like the little stripes on each end, and then it goes to the, like, almost looks like a sharpened pencil on each end.
Yes.
Yeah, those sound great.
I'm trying to see if there's any other stuff about him.
I saw it says born December 6, 1928, died April 25th, 2020.
Wow.
So RIP.
I wonder if he died from...
Don't say it.
The issues of the time.
Oh, the pandemic. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it possible. I don't know. That was pretty early on, April of 2020. I don't know when the spike was. Anyways. So yeah, that's, I mean, sizes, thickness, I guess there, you know, you can have a, and I guess that would be, you know, like thickness of the actual triangle there. Oh, my daughter just woke up. so you can have like a thicker triangle that is still a 6-inch, or you can have like an 8 or a 10-inch triangle that's really thin. You're going to get totally different sounds. Sabian makes some that are like these little hand hammered bronze ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're like an 8-inch, but they're really thin.
Yeah.
And they sound really, really good too. It just kind of depends on what sound you want. But you know, if you're a percussionist and you don't have a triangle, I would say, you know, that Alan Abel or that 6-inch Black Swamp Artisan, those would be like the first one that I would purchase, either one of those.
Yeah. Well, you got anything else on the triangle?
I don't think so, man. What's your favorite shape?
Shape of triangle?
No, just shape in general. Like,
gosh.
You know, like geometric.
I can honestly say I've never thought about what my favorite shape would be, but I think the first thing that popped into my head was circle.
Yeah, sir. So. It's obviously circle.
So yeah, I guess circle.
Cool.
Think about that and have a better answer.
Yeah. Well, you know, send us an email. Let us know what your favorite shape is. Let us know if you've got any questions. I mean, this was fun to talk about triangle for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Triangle is one of those instruments that it's like kind of hard to describe. So I'm hopefully we gave you some tips on how to talk to your kids about this. I know some of it was maybe hard to listen to because we are like, we can see each other. So we're doing things on the camera, you know, to like show what we're talking about, but you guys can't see that. So anyway. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I also have a little article that I will post in the show notes that has a lot of stuff that we talked about in it that is kind of helpful. They stole it from the podcast.
Yeah. And they were time travelers came
yes.
back.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But it's a great article from Black Swamp. So we'll include
Oh yeah.
that article in there.
Good. good guys over there.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We will see you in the next one.
Triangle you later. Thank you.